Good morning, the 21st of February 2018. I'm Lisa Gale. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The call numbers are 434-1790 or WhatsApp 266-1VOB or 266-4862. It is my pleasure to be with you today. We're going until 1 p.m. and we look forward to hearing your views, hearing your calls, and having discussions with you on the range of issues that may come your way or those things that you want to get more information on. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a few callers on the air, so we will go to the board today. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm on the air.
Yes, you are on the air.
Yes. Good morning. I want to say a few things. I just want to say that I'm glad and I'm happy to hear that income tax checks are writing right now.
Okay.
But my problem is that if that we have to pay taxes, uh-huh, like road tax, income tax, and other taxes, uh-huh, by the year, when we don't pay them by the year, we get a penalty.
That's right.
You could even go to jail if the police catch you with road tax not paid. It could go as bad as that. Uh-huh. I'm wondering if we have to pay taxes by the year, why it is that government is waiting till election to give people 4 and 5 years money?
That's a very good question.
Understand?
It's a very good question. Money should be paid when they're due, don't you think?
Yes, please. By the year. We are paying by the year. And as we falter, we get penalties of all kinds. Mm-hmm. Why should checks be writing at election time for 4 years where people suffer? 4 years income taxes, no writing at election.
That's a very good. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the minister himself agreed that they have to get their act together.
Have to get their act together.
Tax administration is a critical element of government management, etc. And it's something that we as a country need to fix.
If it is you not make good enough. Laws and the policies, you should not be breaking them.
Agreed.
Because when you write these checks now, you should be writing interest on people's checks instead of putting penalties on us when we don't pay for a year. I cannot drive my car.
There's some way you can request it, you know.
Yeah, but they get all this money from now. If you couldn't find one year money in taxes, how could you find 4 now with interest? That's trouble.
So you really feel that you are going to get it?
I would like it, but I'm not sure I would get it.
Because you're saying you're very glad that income tax.
I'm very glad.
And then
I
you
heard
went on to say
it.
That they're being written. I thought you were going to say you received your income tax.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. That they're being written at that moment when the guy was speaking.
Yes.
He said, while I'm speaking, they're being written.
Yes.
So I felt great about that, but it's not good enough.
The point
you can't
fully
just
taken.
Come and give people their money at all elections all the time, and then putting people in, the police will catch you if you're not paying your tax for the car. And you could get 6 months or pay something out.
They're different penalties, yes.
Exactly. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Once again, our call numbers are 434-1790 or WhatsApp 266-4862. We will break at 11:55 a.m. for the regional roundup. And we will break again at 12:30 p.m. for the latest of the lunchtime edition. I'm Lisa Gale, our producer and technical operator is Mr. Graham Vaughan, and we are with you here until 1 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Yes. Do you celebrate Black History Month?
If I celebrate Black History Month?
Yeah.
No more than I celebrate Valentine's Day. I'm aware that it happens, and my son is in primary school, and they actually don't recognize Black History Month. They recognize Cultural Heritage Month.
Okay, well, that sounds good. What school at, may I ask that your son is going to school at, if you may?
Charles F. Primary. Charles F. Broome Primary School.
Okay. One of the elite primary school. Well, they got elite primary schools too, you know.
It wasn't aware. I thought people were elite, you know, not the
school. Some people were trying to get the children into certain school, you know. That's how I
preference in life. Some people choose certain things. But I take your point, though. It is one of those schools that has a long waiting list.
Yeah, right. Okay, the reason why I asked you, because I did my contribution every year. I don't recognize it either. I will recognize it. It's good to
I didn't say I don't recognize it. No, I said not any more than any other things. Nothing that is big on my agenda, to be honest.
Right. But I could live with that, with what you said then.
Okay.
I don't say it ain't a big thing to me. It's just there, but I ain't a part of it. But you might be you might be a little soft on it, but I more hard on it because I wonder where it can get us as a people, really. And I thinking more...
When you say us as a people, Barbadians, or you mean...
Yeah, Barbadian.
Okay. Because it is not just a Barbadian celebration.
Well, I didn't mean the African... I didn't mean the Black History Month, really. I forget to say it. I going more to the idea that you can be an African even though that you're born here in Barbados.
Okay.
Right?
Well, please, for the future, because remember last time you thought you said what you wanted to say and it wasn't in fact coming out correctly. Say what you are thinking.
Right.
Because I wouldn't know what you're thinking.
But I am not really a fluent person. So
you don't have to be fluent. No. You don't have to be. Just all I'm saying is when you want to say, let's say, for example, you're talking about the road. You've changed topics. Uh-huh. Just mention the road at the top of the comment so that I know what you meant. Because I had to ask you for that, you see?
Okay. All right. But you guide me. I don't do it for purpose, but I mean that could be a weakness or disability in me, right? To speak that way. So you I be guided by you.
Okay.
I heard a real African this morning. I'm on Barbados. That would make me come with this topic now, right? Because the last 2 weeks, there was a well-distinguished gentleman on Morning Barbados, and he gave a reason, and I think is a pretty good one, why he could want to be African.
Okay.
But I have no problem with nobody that want to be African, but I got a problem when it is politically driven because it came with the politics. I know that because on the Erskine Sandiford, people back in the 80s, and people back in the 80s that wasn't Africans and is Africans now want to know how to get there. I think that happened under Mr. Ornath, not Erskine Sandiford.
You have me here laughing.
I got you laughing?
Yeah, let me hear where you're going. Just continue.
Because on the Erskine Sandiford, all we were just thinking about how people can get back the 8% cut and so on. We weren't thinking about being Africans back then. But
you're speaking for a population, how the population thinks?
Yeah, I know because I was living back then, right? And I know that much people in Barbados, it wasn't in schools then. On the Erskine Sandiford.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is something that came with Mr. Arthur.
Okay.
Right? And Mr. Arthur was using it as part of his political tool to see if he could, because he's a type of politician, a very good one too, right? And I'm not no friend of a good politician because people need to understand what really politics is. Because, he was using it, but Mr. Arthur make a statement that telling me that he's doing something, but he's not really a believer in it. Who is really white and who is really black? That's what he says. But this came up, Pan-African Commission and all those things came, is what Mr. Arthur formed under his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Arthur really didn't really got nothing to do with it. He put other peoples in place to push that ideology. Right?
So it was his agenda, but being pushed by other...
By other people. And it's part of his agenda, right? So he was being, what you would call, what is the word? Expedient? Right.
But just to say, Black History Month has been celebrated in the U.S. for a couple decades. And I am not so sure that... And you were right in saying that in the schools, it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't as big as it is now where children actually have a day and they wear African wear, etc. But the learning about blacks has existed on our historical agenda for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So while it hasn't been just, you know, dealt with in 1 month, it is something that we learnt about in history. We being predominantly a black country, at school learnt about the history of the country itself, where slaves came over, et cetera, through the transatlantic trade, et cetera. So, but get where you're going. You're saying that the former prime minister used it as a tool to advance his agenda. Continue. Mm.
But if we used to go far, I believe we here in the Caribbean, as Caribbean people, could get rid of racism, right? I'm not telling people that they are racist if they want to align themselves with an ethnic group. But there's a difference between ethnicity and race, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to tell me that you is an African, tell me African got more than, Africa got different ethnic groups. Which group you belong to? Because there's different groups. There's people out there that is dressed just like me or you, ordinary people like we, right? And there's people that dressing in the garments that they're dressing and calling themselves African. The idea is not really logical. That's why you have a problem with it.
Idea is not logical?
The idea of being an African, born in here in Barbados, is not a logical one. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That they're actually looking to align themselves with an ethnic group calling themselves African, and then they're confusing it with race.
You're serious, sir?
Yes, I'm serious. Why you ask me
so,
if I'm serious?
You said that. I don't want to repeat you. But I'm understanding you to mean that a person born in Barbados should not consider him or herself African.
No.
That's not what you're saying?
That's why I'm saying, I say that you shouldn't consider yourself as an African because it's not a race.
And you're saying it's not logical.
It's not logical neither.
Okay, and you're also acknowledging that ancestral relationships should not be, you know, tied to. In other words, if I do my family tree, and I go right up to meet my ancestors from Sierra Leone or Ghana, and they are indeed African, I should not associate myself with them? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not telling you that you should associate
or that
yourself.
I shouldn't claim them as family?
Yes, you should claim them as family.
And I shouldn't claim myself as of African descent?
Yes, you can claim yourself as African descent, but can you be an African descendant and still be African too? Unless you believe in reincarnation, right?
I'm gonna let you finish because I'm not gonna argue with you.
I'm trying to
logically place why you don't think a person in Barbados should associate itself, him or herself, with as a descendant of someone from Sierra Leone or Ghana.
No,
or
you're
really
actually misreading me there.
That's
I'm
why I
saying,
asked you just now what I asked
right.
you.
I'm
for clarity.
Not saying that you shouldn't try to like.
You said this, that they're not Africans.
Pardon?
You said that they're
saying,
not Africans.
I'm saying that something wrong with the idea, with the ideology. It's an ideology.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Not that I agree with you, but yes. Continue.
The reason why it is illogical is because there's no race called an African race. Understand that. Africa,
but they're not necessarily saying it's a race, right? When you talk about descendants,
some of the things
is it always
some of the things. And what I'm saying, right, that you can align yourself. There's ethnicity. There's an ethnic group in Africa, and they have different ethnic groups in Africa, right? Mm-hmm. So this African type of people that we want to align yourself is just one group of people, and then there's other people. Right? That just normal dressing with culture just similar to us in the Caribbean. But that's an ethnic group that they want to call the Africans, right?
Okay.
So the reason why it's illogical is because we are people of mixed ancestral heritage. So if you can say you belong to one group and then you left out the other group and then can tell me that is not racism, I think you might not be understanding what racism is. I know what racism is, you know, but it is not one thing. Because to me, the white man, when I say white man, I ain't being racist neither, but I'm just making a distinction. Mm-hmm. What the white man practicing you might call it racism, but the white man is being a very good businessman, or he doing the first principle in nature, which would be self-preservation. But it would look cruel to actually call the white race is not the white people is not going to have had black people in slavery, but he seemed to be the one that being hated because of slavery, because he did it as business, big business, right? And it's still like, he's still dominating. What people confusing racism with is white supremacy, right? And this is two different things.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add there?
But don't let me get it wrong. You could actually align yourself with your family in Africa.
I heard what you're saying.
My
it's not
point
a challenge
is
with that.
That don't tell me that you are not a racist when you are going to left out the other heritage that you have, which is white.
If you're mixed, yeah.
Right.
Or if you have some, because some people may very well be phenotypically black, mm-hmm. but have ancestral relations way back in Europe, etc. So I take your perspective. This is down to brass tacks. I would just want to read here someone on WhatsApp that said, good morning, I would like to make an announcement. If anyone finds a driver's license bearing the name Kemar Maynard, please contact him at the number 267-4929. That number again, 267-4929. If you've found a driver's license bearing the name Kemar Maynard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Gill.
Hi, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Well, thanks.
Very well. Now, I want to be concise and to the point as much as possible because mm-hmm. I want to say just about everything I intend to say. Now, some time ago, there was a well-known person on Brass Tacks, and these sentiments were voiced. Barbados is a matriarchal society. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say that in the social sphere, it is and has always been a matriarchal society. But outside of that, as long as we were a civilization, it was other than matriarchal. Very much patriarchal. Also, it was said that we have a history of mothers single-handedly raising children. And I want to say that's a misnomer.
And not a predomination? I'm sure the comment was made more so in the context of the majority of families or households being run by women, which is what essentially matriarchal means.
Still a misnomer. I will grant you that from Eve to this day, women have contributed way beyond the recognition and the rewards that they receive. And I don't want to dwell on that because that's a subject all by itself. But I want to say this. That prior to the 1970s, there were very few men, or women for that matter, who single-handedly did anything. I grew up in the 1950s, 60s, and I can tell you that when there was a single mother as head of the household, that both men and women contributed to that household. Women from jackboot back to slipper contributed to the raising of that family. And there were cases where women even adopted, if the mother would allow, some of the children if there were many children. I know of men, and this is no fabrication, I know of men who would pass by a female-headed household, and they would say, Miss B, anything I can do for you around the house? I know no gentleman is there. So,
this is in the 50s and the 60s that you refer?
Yeah, the 60s too.
So post the 70s, where are we now? What is your observation?
I like the question you asked because I'm going somewhere with this. Mm-hmm. We back then had community living back then.
No, before you go to community living, make the distinction. You're refuting the claim that Barbados is a matriarchal society.
No, I'm not. I'm saying in the social spheres, it is a matriarchal society. But outside of that, it is more than matriarchal. It is very much patriarchal too.
I'm not understanding you. When you say outside of the social sphere, outside the home, family, church, politics.
And political spheres, it is not very much a matriarchal society.
But
and
matriarchal refers to the running of a household. That speaks to something specific. It is a matriarchal society. It's a society that's dominated by women, not necessarily in political office, but the running of the household. That's specifically what it is.
Yes.
In business now and in politics, as you're alluding to, where we have male domination, the preponderance of male politicians, you have male bosses, you have male, that's a different scenario.
But I don't know if I agree with you when you say that matriarchal is confined just to the household. I'm not sure that is
not just the household. I take your point, but Barbados, when we talk about the matriarchal society, we talk about the dominance of the female running and making the decisions, the substantive decisions which come out of the home.
And wider society.
And wider society.
Yes. I'm saying to you that there is not everything about the society that is matriarchal.
And I take your point, and I then ask you, where you look at the, because you're making a distinction between the running of the household and the running of the country.
Not necessarily, you know.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily, no. I'm only
because the running of the household is predominated by the female in Barbados, and the government by the male.
I don't want to draw those kind of.
But that's the reality of the Barbados that we live in, though.
And I am only. This is what I'm saying, and I hope you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that if you say it's a matriarchal society,
mm-hmm.
that, and you alluded to it, women dominate. Period.
That's why I made a differentiation with you at the very beginning, because when people refer to the matriarchal society, they more speak to the household. Yes, and wider society, but the household. That's why I agreed with you initially.
Okay, I'm not going to split hairs on that because I really want to get to something else. Yeah?
Let me just read a definition to you, just for clarity here.
Mm-hmm.
Matriarchy is a social system in which females hold the primary power positions in the roles of moral authority, social privilege, and control of property. A group or society is matriarchal when it is run by women. Anthropologists use the adjective matriarchal to talk about societies that are headed by females. The word comes from the Greek mater, mother, and archaean, to rule. So it is more than the household, from what I'm seeing here, moral authority and social privilege.
That's precisely what I said to you.
But our historical experience in Barbados is that the women are the ones who ran the households and the males were the ones who ran politics. And that's why I was trying to get you to admit that those were the two realities that we have in Barbados.
Yeah, but that's what I said from the beginning.
Okay, we're on the same page then.
Yeah. And this is where I want to go. The community that I knew of was one where you had self-appointed governors in a particular district. You have Mr. T at one end, Mr. S at another end, and in between a few more prominent names who safeguarded that district, who ensured that law and order outside of the police force remain in that district.
Mm-hmm.
You had the bad boys too, but their wings were more or less clipped by the people living in that society. And I want to move from that and come to the society today.
Mm-hmm.
You may still find pockets of that around Barbados, but not nearly the same as was in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been replaced by a more individualistic, materialistic way of thinking and living. and we have paid the price for it. All that we have now, we have the expense of what we had, if that makes sense.
But you said pay the price as a society.
I'm going there. I want to qualify something when I talk about at the expense of, because we have convenience today, we have privileges today, we have materialism today that we didn't have prior to 1970. And I think we have allowed ourselves to be blinded by it, because you will hear people talk about the good old days that were not so good. But let me say this to you.
You're not so glory days.
Let me ask you this question. How many teachers of prior 1970 were fearful of their life in the classroom?
I can tell you I don't know how many are fearful now. So therefore I can't tell you how many were fearful then.
I've been hearing that just the other day. Or yesterday. I've been hearing that teachers are fearful of their life. I've never heard that prior to 1970. And my point is simply this. There is more to living than privileges, conveniences, and materialism. And when I talk about paying the price, that's what I'm talking about. We are at a stage now where we have to come to terms with what is significant in life. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
I have heard in recent time comments to this effect. This is the point where we have evolved to. We have evolved to this point.
Okay.
And it is said as though, well, we have come this far. There's no way of going. I don't even want to say going back. This is the point we have come to. And I ask the question, where will we go from here if this is the point that we have evolved to, given all that is happening in our society today?
Okay. Thank you for those comments. I will probably do some more reading a little bit on the patriarchal society and the matriarchal society, something I did in sociology back in the day. But I would admit that women have contributed significantly to Barbados, and men as well. And there was a joke a couple years ago where I saw they talked about successfully run households vis-a-vis the unsuccessfully run governments. Who are leading them? It was a joke, I must say, but maybe there's time to increase the number of females in office. And note that that is another discussion. But this is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, good morning, Miss Gibb.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, thanks.
Yeah, a couple of things, Siri. The first thing I have to do is, I've been listening for a little while on the stations concerning what's going to happen now in Barbados with the general election, and there were some for the government, you know, there would be some against the government, and et cetera. But I'm not really hearing many solutions to solve the problems that we are having right now and the challenges that we will be facing going forward.
Most economic and social problems
that we are having with the school children and the violence among the school children.
You don't hear some of the solutions?
The only thing I'll be hearing really is to bring what is called the mecha detectors in schools, and that's not going to work. That's the first thing, because really, in truth, if a youngster has the intention to do anything, due to the fact that, you know, like, our schools are on open pastures, and the fella who uses senses, he's not going to watch him and get no weapon on him, where he could trick over there. One of his friends most probably collect and carry in the classroom, unless you are checking the children before they enter the classroom. The United States is a bit different. The United States is that you could get a gun really. So that's a whole problem there with itself. But get back to Barbados, though.
Mm-hmm.
When the election's called, I am looking out to see what are there the two four parties bringing to offer to pull this to the economic situation that we're in right now. I can tell that the Democratic Labour Party, they had a problem. They created a problem, and they want to solve the problem using the same method that was created in the first place, which cannot work. The Baptist Labour Party, they brought one, two solutions, and one is which I'm interested in hearing. When they spoke about, they were going to let the children at UE go about free. And I beginning to wonder about this freeness, where, like everybody would ask, where the money is going to come from. You're going to come from some place. We are not a country like Qatar that have gas as a natural resources and have over $530 billion in for our reserve. So I would like to hear that from the members of the Barbados Labour Party, where they're going to get this money from. The other thing they were criticizing the Democratic Labour Party about this sewage project, and when they were in office for 14 years, they brought in equipment for the hospital, and it lies remain outside the wards because it has some bad electrical installation there at the time, and it cannot, the equipment cannot work. And therefore, the Democratic Labour Party solved some of the problems that they were having at the hospital, some of them, not all. There are still one or two other major problems that we're having. The other thing is that the Saxman will come here and bring statistics, things that you just read off of paper. But Zorbit could come and tell me that Barbados is this and Barbados is that. I want to hear the other side of the story. What are you going to do to improve it?
I was actually going to ask you as well, given that I know your voice and I know that you were, I don't know if you were planning on running for political office, but I understand that you have a political party.
Yeah, we are part. I'm a part. This Barbados Social Democrats, really.
Wait, you changed your name again?
No, that. Pardon me?
You changed your name? You thought you were the Green Party?
No, that was part.
You had three names, because one was a name that was sounding Greek. Then I heard you mention the Green Party. What's it called now? The Barbados? Give me the name, please.
Social Democrats.
Barbados Social. So that means you're a mix of three parties, the Barbados Labour Party.
What happened is that the parties branched out. The first two parties are not contested in the general election, the 2018 general election.
Okay.
My party is not contesting, but what we are trying our support for the UPP, that is the Latinismo Party.
Oh, okay.
We are trying our support. As a matter of fact, the Green Party and also the Flows. They're showing their support behind the Eastman Party.
Okay.
But we think a third party has
you, to you
offer.
Offered solutions. You said you didn't hear any solutions, so I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, what are some of those solutions that your faculty or your personnel in your party are suggesting?
Let me explain to you. The philosophy of my party, we believe in what you call economics. But we look at it differently, behavior economics, and this is what, let me explain to you how it works. We believe that if I invite you to have a lunch with me, and I got the lunch ready and everything, etc. Now, let's assume that you're a diabetic. You're not supposed to be salted nuts. I place salted nuts on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that you saw them there, you will eat them. Now, if I remove those salty nuts, it will neither take away or add to the ledge. So what we are saying is that when you have money, you look at areas where you invest this money. You don't just build lily-nilly, because you're going to run yourself in trouble. And one of the problems Barbados is facing right now, which you don't understand and everybody understands, is that we need the investor covenants. Without that, we will get nowhere. I mean, tourism is not doing badly. But we can't always depend on tourism. The offshore sector is not really performing. The agriculture
is not performing. The offshore sector is still very much performing. Leading second to tourism.
No, not to the extent that I would like them to perform. That's the honest truth.
Not performing for you. Okay.
No, not for me. I am not. I'm not really too impressed with what I'm coming from that sector. To be quite honest. But what I'm looking at other areas that we could look to reduce or bring foreign exchange. And one would be get back to the agriculture and the manufacturing industry. These are two main areas that I'm really concerned about. Unless we get those two running efficiently, then we are going nowhere. Okay. And the other thing is that why do you think that this election campaign is going to be mainly based on? Is it going to be based on economics? Is it going to be based on human behavior? What do you think?
I think a lot of things. I think there's going to be persons who will vote for their party.
Right.
We must remember that there are allegiances in this country that are not easily removable. That's one. And then there are persons who looked at the last year of this administration and made their assessment based on whether they got their income tax, whether or not they got a house, whether or not their household moved, you know, a couple points up economically, whether from a social sector perspective, whether, you know, they got access to health and different things.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to vote based on that, whether they think the government got a failing grade or a promising grade. I think persons vote from that perspective. There are other persons who may not vote because they're disillusioned. They believe that things are, you know, they're either hopeless or they can't see beyond the following day. And as a result, they may blame the government and feel, you know, people vote for different things. I think those are the things that impact an election, whether or not we have a large discussion on something like privatization or on the social challenges or crime and violence, which was in 2003. Whatever the issue of the day is, because you know that in an election period, things can come up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are battling issues with respect to sewage and the fallout from that, the discussion in terms of who's historically to blame or how quickly is it being assessed and addressed, whether the economic issues have been handled correctly, whether we should go to devaluation. There's so many different issues people are going to bring to the table that will influence. I already know what and who. I know where my vote will go, and
yeah.
I know I will vote. And I know I will encourage persons to go out and vote based on what is important for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a critically important time for Barbados. Barbados needs to continue along a path that it has come to be known for in international circles.
Uh-huh.
And we also, issues like regional integration and those things, I actually just saw the Golden Report, and that is a big challenge for us in the region to have a country like Jamaica, who was one of the first countries as part of the union, the economic union back in the day, with the Federation, even before we did the CSME in 73, way back in the 50s when our own premier became the premier of the Federation. Jamaica was one of those big countries, one of the what we call the MDCs, the more developed countries, and for them to now say that the CSME is not, or that they're going to put on the cards or put them on notice, I think that is critical for us in the region. I think there's so many issues. What I'm really saying here, that they're regional issues, they're social issues, they're economic issues, and there are other issues that are going to influence people's vote. And Barbadians need to wise up, to not just go to a political meeting and hear somebody rile up a people. We're past that. We are past that.
But you have a chance to saw the, what you call the punters list where...
Punters list?
You look at this list and you see, like, okay, for example, let me draw an example to you. You will see that Mia Marmotley, she would be rated at a 6-4. In other words, she's a favorite to retain that seat, right? But if you look at Sandhya Bradshaw, you will see on the list all that Sandhya Bradshaw is at 25-1. In other words, if you bet a dollar on Sandhya Bradshaw, you will get $25 plus the $1, which is $26. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. I have someone here who wants to engage you, and I'm inclined to do so. So kindly hold. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Miss Cummins, is your name?
My name is Lisa Gale.
Lisa Gale.
Miss Cummins is my colleague who has my first name, but we don't share the same last name.
Oh dear, how unfortunate.
No, ma'am, she's very fortunate. I'm very fortunate in her own right.
Okay. I called, ma'am, because I wanted to respond to the last caller.
You know that there's a caller in right now. We put you in to have a discussion, or was not your intention?
No. It can be. But I want to respond to a comment that he had made.
Okay.
As it relates to when he spoke about the return of free tertiary education and how it would be funded.
Can you hear the other caller, sir?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, great.
Right. He spoke definitively.
That was his opinion, though. He said he doesn't believe.
I didn't get that because this is not the first time I've heard him with this.
He said he doesn't believe that education should be free.
Oh, okay, that's fine. But this is a challenge I have, ma'am.
Yes.
Now, he may be fortunate to pay for his. What must be considered, ma'am, is that there are persons in this country who are not fortunate so to do.
Of course.
So therefore, mm-hmm. We cannot become selfish in ourselves and our attitudes to the extent, and that's why I'm surprised that he's the leader of a party, to the extent where we can use our own theories and our own beliefs and force them upon the people of this country. Now let me explain. Now, SMI infrastructure, you would have heard this talked about by the opposition parties. As it relates to the Pearhead Project and the agreement, where we now have to face a $98 million of MOU that has now been has to be paid simply because of the fallout of arrangements. The Cahill Plasma Glassification Project is another such project. We don't know what the MOU is, but what we know is that since the government has now distanced itself from the Cahill Project, that too has to become a reality in terms of the breach of the MOU. The point that I want to make this morning, ma'am, is that if we make these type of decisions, and they have to pay for our breaches that would have occurred based on the arrangements that we would have made, ma'am, could not this money have been used to fund tertiary education in any way, shape, form, or fashion? Now, ma'am, the point I want to make, ma'am, is that if a father having a wife and four children, being paid a salary of $1,000 weekly, and choose to go to Marhill Street every Friday to drink rum, and then leave there and journey to Nelson Street to decide he wants to enjoy himself, and then take home $150 or $200 out of the $1,000, the household cannot be properly run on the $200.
So his poor decisions should be run and handled by the government? I'm not clear on what you're suggesting.
No, the point I want to make, ma'am, is that if this administration was more forthright and the choices that they made as it relates to the spending of taxpayers' money, I am saying that we would have money in our possession, the government, to carry out the mandate or the things that are more of a priority for it, rather than using money. Another case in example, case in point, ma'am.
Before you go, could you want to respond, caller?
Yeah, well, actually, to be quite honest with you, there's nothing much to respond, because I could tell him that if he's looking at it, that's a simplistic way, I could say the money that was spent on Greenland could also improve the QEH, which mm-hmm. the Democratic Labour Party had to come and did a lot of work on. So you can't look at it so simplistic. It's too simplistic. It's much more than that. If you want to send students to UE, it's going to be a cost. Who will bear the cost?
But I'm happy. Mom, I'm happy that you're going there, you know, because at the time that the money was spent on Greenland, and that the wasteful could be, he referred to as being wasteful money. The point I want to make is that the QH did not now enjoy what it's currently enjoying. In other words, the QH, ma'am, was in a better state then than it is now. So I don't know if we're going to the argument, but the point I want to make, ma'am, we have just borrowed $3.5 million from the Emirates.
Only 3.5?
3.5, which is $7 million,
okay.
Barbados dollars, $3.5 million
US.
US dollars.
Okay.
To fund a solar car park in the Barbados Water Authority car park. Mm. In the face, ma'am, of a disgraceful sewage mess happening on the South Coast, where then is the priority? That is the point I want to make all the time, ma'am, that if we prioritize...
So priority then is your critical point.
Precisely, ma'am.
Whereas
the other
caller is suggesting that we must not be so simplistic. Okay, any other final thoughts from both of you?
No. I'm satisfied.
One can go, which is Mr. Green Party, Mr. Barbados Social Democrat.
Social Democrat,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. I'll let you continue, sir.
Right, ma'am, all I am saying is that if we look around us, and I can do another scenario, the BSRC arrangement, in circumstances where
SBRC.
We have SSA trucks, but we are now in an agreement, ma'am, that the shortfall, which is the garbage that now remains on the side of the road, has to be paid for once it has not reached the landfill, and we are paying a price for that. So the point that you're making, ma'am, is how do you, in the face of such an agreement, refuse to buy SSA trucks to collect the garbage and now hold the feet of the taxpayer to the pain, ma'am, of an arrangement that has been made by BSRC? Ma'am, it does not make any sense. And all I am saying to the people of this country is that we have to wake up. If we do not prioritize, these are the challenges that we will continue to have over and over again. The bottom line is that this government has not yet made a definitive decision that they will prioritize the spending of taxpayers' money.
You support the continuation of free tertiary education.
Ma'am, of course, I have three daughters, ma'am, and I believe that they should not be disadvantaged in any way, shape, form, or fashion,
right,
because that somebody decide that they don't want prioritize.
Would you agree with means testing? For example, if you choose, as that father, who worked for the 1,000 to not put the money down for tertiary education, but to go to Nelson Street, and then to also spend your money on alcohol, do you think that a means test would assist the government in properly getting those persons who can afford it, based not only on poor choices but based on capability, etc.? Do you think that means testing can assist so that the bill would not be that onerous on the government given the economic challenges that it faces?
Ma'am, I cannot trust means testing in the hands of politicians simply because once it becomes politicized, then another ugly head will be raised again. If the mean testing, ma'am, will be in any way, shape, form, or fashion, be free from political interference, yes, I can agree with it. If it is going to be married with political interference, we are going nowhere with it, ma'am. We will be going nowhere with it, and as a consequence, disadvantages will reoccur again. That's the point I want to make. So if we're going to go that route, it has to be free from political interference. It cannot be.
Okay.
In the hands and to the whims and fancies of the politicians, because that once it is known that I do not support a particular party and a decision has to be made, it means that my household will be disadvantaged by any decision that has to be made as it relates to means testing.
Okay, so someone says that if the negotiation for the solar park at BWA was completed and agreed for before the sewage issue, how do you feel about that? And then can the monies then previously agreed for that purpose probably be spent on something else? That was a comment,
ma'am,
from a WhatsApper.
I am happy that question has been posed. Ma'am, if you have a vehicle, that the maintenance and the service for the vehicle comes up in the next 6 months, but you have a crisis in your home as it relates to your children and the family membership of the home, which one would you make a priority, ma'am? Despite the fact that you would have made arrangements 6 months ago for an appointed date to have the vehicle service. But in the face of this appointment and the face of this arrangement, something else is more important. What do you turn to, ma'am? Which one you turn to?
In order to, I will turn to the second one. However, and I'm being specific here in terms of the BWA, if the funds were allotted only for the servicing of the vehicle and not for anything else, then I have to service the vehicle. And I'm sure if I arrange for a loan from anyone, for example, let's use when we take loans for specifically for a house, I can't take the house, the mortgage money and, you know, buy the car if the car gets into an accident or something. So there is that very real possibility that the funds were specifically earmarked and outlined for that, for that purpose. Do you have any final wrap up?
The final thing is the trucks that were now bought by the Chinese, the armored trucks.
Oh yes, I heard about those. Yes.
Now, could not the government had sat down with the Chinese, ma'am, I don't know the ins and outs, because you're not privy to a lot of things that happened on the inside as it relates to this administration, but could not have been possible.
You could ask a question, you know. You just...
Yeah, I'm asking the question. Mm-hmm. That if the government has a working relationship with the Chinese, mm-hmm. and also at the same time is facing a sewage mess on the South Coast, that to the extent that TripAdvisor and other advisories are now warning and threatening the tourism product. I want to find out from whoever can answer the question on the behalf of the government, if it could not have been possible that the Chinese could have been, they put the Chinese to sit down and tell them, here is our problem. This is what we are facing. We need funding, or we need A, B, or C to have this problem rectified. Could not we have diverted the trucks and utilized the funds that would have paid for the trucks to then go in the direction of fixing the South Coast?
But did the government ever say they had problems funding the South Coast? I think the problem was more finding the source of the challenge and then fixing it. I don't think it was a financial issue.
No, ma'am. Go back to Minister of Health, John Boy.
He said How long ago he said these things?
He said this about a month or two ago. He said at a branch meeting, I follow these people very closely, he said at a branch meeting that government had to be very careful how they're spending money because of the limited money that is available to the government. I heard the minister.
But that doesn't suggest that that's not sufficient enough to suggest that it was a funding issue. Our Barbadians have been told more so that the problem was bigger than, let's say, the South Coast source project was supposed to be for a particular size population, and it was supposed to be done a particular way. Apparently, the size population that it was servicing had tripled or quadrupled, and therefore more load was put on the South Coast the system. As well as there were dysfunctional elements,
ma'am,
of the actual system.
You ready by that argument? Are you ready by the argument, ma'am? And the lack of maintenance is primarily
that too. Yes, I fully support, because I have heard that lack of maintenance, but that is not a financial issue.
No,
that's the point I'm making to you.
I understand that, but the point I want to make in addressing the problem that you have just raised is that if maintenance was a reality as it relates to the South Coast sewage mess, ma'am, mm-hmm. whatever load that is now placed on it would be observed
and
the
fixed.
Maintenance.
Yes, fully
that
supported.
That's the point they want to make.
All right.
Don't let them come to you with a foolishness book thing. The maintenance, and they must accept responsibility, ma'am, for their carelessness in not addressing the problem at the right time.
Okay. Thank you for your contribution. We have a WhatsApper here that says, good morning. The entitlement mentality in Barbados must be eradicated. The PM is on the right track with the entitlement issue. This is Down to Brass Tacks.